Hey guys, it's Nick from Game Time. Thanks for listening to our podcast and stream online and on the app. Just remember, it's still radio, 1620 The Zone AM radio. So please remember, all the time you spend listening to 1620 The Zone AM radio, remember, 1620 The Zone AM radio.
Former black shirt. Former Super Bowl champion.
Scott Chanley's my guest.
The speed and the explosiveness, I think, should excite Nebraska fans. Game film is always going to be better than practice film because everybody's going 100 miles an hour.
Scott Chanley, black shirt, Super Bowl champ.
Being a Nebraska kid growing up and not only wanting to play for Nebraska and run out in front of the sea of red, but as soon as I knew I was going to be a defensive player, that becomes one of your goals, is to get one of those black jerseys.
Scott Chanley, breaking things down.
Attack, 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 maybe give up a big play. You can live with that, but you got to be aggressive on defense. A couple guys here or there, kind of brother-in-law on it, not going full speed. It's hard to tell. What's going on?
Scott Chanley joins Nick now on Game Time.
How do you say no to Scott Chanley, am I right?
Sounds great.
Let's bring him in. Mr. Scott Chanley is on the line. What's up, Scott? How are you?
I'm doing good. Just prepping, getting ready for a little family vacay to Hawaii for a few days. So looking forward to that. But don't like the packing part of it, but I love
it. Absolutely. Now, are you going to be offering somebody $1,500 so you can trade seats with him a la Cam Newton? Are you going to be doing that? Is that what's going to happen on the flight?
No, I don't think I do that. I think I take care of that in advance. You don't have to be recorded and,
yeah,
and become all over social media. I want to find out who the guy was who denied him, because the only thing that would make that better is to find out that was a Saints fan that did that. But, the walk of shame for Cam Newton on the airplane, that didn't come off too well on Twitter.
No, it certainly did not. Yeah, you'd have to imagine it was whoever turned down had to have been someone. You hope it was someone in the NFC South. You know what I mean? Like somebody, a Saints fan, a Falcons fan, a Bucks fan. Somebody should have. And maybe he was scanning it and he saw guys in like Bucks shirts and Falcon shirts and was like, "Ooh, this isn't going to work out very good for me." You know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That guy must have really wanted his leg room, or he was not a Cam Newton fan. One of those two things. But I think a lot of people would take that $1,500.
$1,500 in cash is hard to turn away. Really, really hard to turn away. I got a handful of things I want to dive into with you. This week we've been I've been talking a little bit about the ability to force turnovers. How much of that can be schemed? Can be taught? Or how much of it is a skill individually, meaning there's some guys that are just have a knack for picking off passes, have a knack for, you know, stripping the ball, going after the ball, recovering fumbles, those kinds of things. How do you kind of see the ability to force turnovers defensively individually?
Well, I think you hit on all three that I was just going to say, but I think for me, with my experience, it's been scheme number one. Any defense I've ever played in with a very aggressive defensive coordinator and an aggressive mindset, we've always created more turnovers. I think everything starts with being extremely aggressive on defense, knowing you're going to give up some big plays, but you're constantly in attack mode. And then secondly, it does come down to the player. The player, you look at the guy Peanut Tillman in Chicago, the peanut punch they always called it. He used to cause a lot of fumbles as a DB, and that became his thing. So guys do have that knack for going for the ball. But I really think outside of scheme, it comes down to practice habits. When we led the NFL in turnovers for a couple years in a row, it was not by accident. It was every day we train in practice. When there's a ball on the ground, whether it's incomplete pass, whatever it is, it's a race by everybody on the defense to see who can get the ball first. And once you get that feeding frenzy in your mind that ball is ours and we want the football every time it's out there and not in a receiver's hand, you start to make those things become habits.
Hey, Scott, how do you balance being aggressive to go after turnovers without being stupid about it, for lack of a better term? You know what I mean? Because there are times where, like, you know, don't, you know, if a guy's breaking on an out and you don't have a chance to really get it, you know, it's like there is an element of, like, you know, you break on an out and don't get it, it could be a big play or a touchdown. You know what I mean? Or sometimes you just need to tackle the guy and not go for the strip. How do you balance that?
Yeah, it comes down to the player knowing and trusting that his teammates are going to be where they're supposed to be. I mean, if you're in an all-out blitz, you're bringing six guys or seven guys, and you have no help anywhere on the field. You have to be smart. Also, you play the downs by down and distance. If you're a DB and you're bringing an all-out blitz, you have no help, you can't play 10 yards off and let the guy run a quick slant because you know they're going to be throwing it hot. Those types of things come down to coaches relaying those things to the players. And once the players start to understand the types of routes they're getting with the defenses they're running, that's when you can not react anymore, but anticipate. And that's really what creating turnovers comes down to, is anticipating before the ball's even snapped.
How good of a feeling is it, Scott? Scott Chandler's my guest. When in a game, you recognize something because of practice and film study, you see it, you break on it, you make a play, whether it's an interception, something like that, that's got to be an unbelievable feeling.
Absolutely. It validates the time of sitting in a room and watching tape and studying your opponent. And, you know, sometimes it can work against you. Sometimes you can watch a lot of film and you think you have a play down and you guess wrong because the offense, they have projectors too. They have meeting rooms too, and they yeah. try to get you. But you have to be confident as a player that the things you've seen 8 out of 10 times, 7 out of 10 times, that you have to anticipate and make plays, and you're not always going to be 100% right. And, you know, it's a coach's job too to let players know, hey, if you see something, go play. If you make a mistake, just keep battling. But it's all about anticipating. But you're right, it's a tremendous feeling when you put the time and the effort in and you can see it pay off on game day.
Scott Chandler is my guest, talking a little Husker football here. The other thing I was looking at in terms of diving into some stats, how about this, Scott? Over the last 5 years for Nebraska football, in games decided by 7 points or less, Nebraska has a record of 9-18. So think about that now. Games decided by 7 points or less, Nebraska's been in 27 games, and they've only won 9. I mean, if wow. you want to try and explain kind of what, you know, what's kind of gone wrong, Nebraska's been in position and hasn't been able to kind of seal the deal in close games. How do you, trying to combine what you've seen with Nebraska with also just some eternal truths of football that are, you know, kind of can apply to any team with the ability to win close games. What do you think winning close games comes down to?
Honestly, I think it comes down to conditioning. I think the team that is in better shape now, they don't fold mentally. I think when another team is in better shape come the fourth quarter, when it's time to make those plays that matter, it's much easier to play when you're in shape. And I think this new staff, Coach Duvall, bringing him back with Coach Frost, you see all the games already. You see the work they're putting in the weight room. And those things, when you lose games in the end, you know, I can remember our saying in Nebraska, we had a saying was start strong, finish even stronger, because we let a lot of games get away. 1 year late in the end where we didn't finish strong enough. And that comes down to conditioning. That comes down to putting that work in the weight room, because I had a coach who always used to preach over and over again. He'd always say, mental toughness precedes physical toughness. You can be physically tough all you want, but if you're not mentally tough, if you don't get your body in shape to where that inner voice doesn't start talking to you in the third quarter, you're tired, you'll never be able to finish games. So just the conditioning aspect.
Is there a way, because there's sometimes it's hard to, you can do all the simulations you want in the world and practice for big third down here, you got to get off the field, but there's nothing quite like third and two, you got to get off the field, get the ball back to Breeze, you know what I mean? The crowd gets into it. Like, is there any way you can, were there ever some drills you could try to have in practice to simulate being able to make things happen late in close games?
Yeah, I can remember lots of times. Coach Bill Parcells was big on this, and Sean Payton still does it. But just, we'd always have scripted practices, and just whenever they felt like it, they would yell out a situation. Give me the offense. It's third and two. Ball's on this yard line. This much time left in game. Give me a defense. And you would have to run out there and scramble out there, just like it happens in the game. You never know if your offense is going to turn the ball over. You never know if you're going to get a takeaway at a critical time in the game. So I just think that situational football in practice, at the drop of a hat, getting guys ready and prepared, those things happen in the game. And the more you can simulate practice being a game, the better off you are on Saturdays.
Yeah, get you out here on this, Scott. The other thing with this is I think there is an element of confidence too. And it's kind of hard. It's kind of a chicken or the egg thing, kind of like what comes first, having confidence and then winning close games, or winning close games and becoming confident. Like it's kind of hard, because I also think that is probably – creeped into Nebraska's heads a little bit, because I know for me, sometimes you watch Nebraska and there is an element in a close game of, oh God, where's this, you know, when's everything going to go wrong? And you know, if you were feeling that, the team's probably feeling that a little bit too.
Yeah, and I think you have to do it in order to have confidence.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's fake. It's manufactured confidence. Once you start doing it and you prove to yourself you can do it just like anything else in life, you're going to be more confident when you do it. And I think another element that goes into it is once you start to do it, once you start to take care of your deficiencies a little bit, you start to trust your teammates more. And a lot of times you get into those close games late in the end and everybody tries to be Superman, and sometimes being selfless can be against you because you see your teammate forgets to do something, you try to overcompensate for him, now you don't do your job,
right?
And that's where things start to break down. So it really comes down to, I'm going to trust my teammate. I've seen him do it for the 75 plays before the fourth quarter. I can trust him to do it in the fourth quarter. Just do our job.
Scott Chanley, black shirt, Super Bowl champ. Scott, awesome stuff. Hey, enjoy Hawaii, my friend. That sounds like a blast.
I will. I'll catch you the week after next.
Sounds good.
Let you know how the luau's work.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, Scott.
All right, see ya.
You got it. Scott Chanley, black shirt, Super Bowl champ. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we've been talking about the ability to win close games and all that stuff. Conditioning was an element that I hadn't really thought about, you know? And that is, I mean, there is something to that. You know, we talk about the ability to run the ball at the end of games to close out a game. And some of that comes down to conditioning. The ability to get off the field on third down in big moments late in the game. Some of that comes back to conditioning. You know, I mean, if you can't beat fatigue, you can't beat anybody. And so that's an interesting element that I hadn't really thought of with that's good stuff with Scott Chanley. Hey, we're about 10 minutes or so from the mailbag. If you haven't gotten your questions in, you still got time. Email George at 1620thezone.com. Best email question is going to win some food to Oscars. 402-951-1620. You can email the show, Nick at 1620thezone.com. Hit me on Twitter, @NickBaugh. We're inside the Next Gen Mail Medical Clinic Zone studios. Game time.